Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 39 of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com. It is a few days after Christmas. We hope that you had a very Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays. We've got tons of news to cover, even though WWE wasn't live every week and AEW didn't even run a show on Christmas Day. There's still tons of news to go through. We're going to do that all right now. Episode 39 of the Smart Marks of Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com. Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com. My name is Jim Parsons. I'm here with thesportster.com. I'm your regular host for the Smart Marks of Wrestling Podcast. I also host the Facebook Live on Monday nights that you can catch after Raw called Talking Raw. We'll have one tomorrow, in fact, as this airs on Sunday for all of those people who listen and tune into this podcast. And then, of course, Wednesdays and Fridays, we do the Sports to Newscast video. So thank you for joining us again. We hope you had a great Christmas. We got a ton of news to go through, and we're going to do those things one by one, starting with a few little tidbits in WWE. Well, that was Cain Velasquez making his debut in WWE on the premiere episode of Friday Night SmackDown on Fox. That was moment number one of 2019. And as you can guess, we played the audio clip because all week long, and for the next day or two anyway, WWE is going to be going through their moments of 2019. And as you may have noticed, if you check out WWE.com or on some of the programs, they're talking about and asking questions about wrestlers' moments, themes that have to do with the last decade, because as everybody knows, on January 1st, we're going to be going into 2020, which represents a new decade. So, of course, WWE wants to know who the male wrestlers are, who the moments are, who the female wrestlers are, who the spots on certain pay-per-views or what have you, moments of 2019, moments of the decade were before 2020. We asked the same question on our videos lately. We asked who the male wrestler of the year has been in the last decade, who the tag team of the year has been in the last decade, who the female wrestler of the year has been in the last decade. The men has been kind of split. John Cena got a lot of the votes. Randy Orton got a lot of the votes. The Fiend has been popular this last year, so he got a lot of the votes. For the tag teams, it could be the Usos, it could be New Day. And in the women's side, Charlotte got a lot of the votes. People seem to like Becky Lynch and what she's done in the last year. Even Mickie James got some votes, but Charlotte seems to have taken that one. So if you're listening to this and you want to think about it, who is your wrestler of the decade? What was your moment in 2019? Apparently, to WWE, the Cain Velasquez debut is the moment of 2019. That ranked at number one. Sasha Banks was in there at number two when she returned and turned on Natalya. There's been a lot of good moments in 2019, a lot of bad moments too, but that was moment number one, so that's where we'll start today. My top moment of 2019 is probably the debut of the Firefly Funhouse and Bray Wyatt. I mean, the WWE had done a really good job of teasing the characters. They saw the puppets, it was Buzzard, it was our Mercy the Buzzard, there was Abby the Witch, there were all sorts of hints as to what might be coming, but nobody really knew what to expect. They figured it was Bray Wyatt. That's exactly who it was. But the type of Bray Wyatt that we got was completely different than anything anybody had expected. And that Firefly Funhouse episode took people and just grabbed them. It was so different. It was so unique. Bray Wyatt was the perfect person to do that. And WWE has done a very good job ever since. Now, would I do everything that they've done from that moment on to now? No, maybe not. But they have done some really good things with him. He seems to have a lot of control over his character so far. And they've done a really smart, you know, piece of artwork. The merchandising stuff's a little bit much. This new $5,000 championship belt, which is hideous, is an interesting idea to see whether or not there's a fan base out there that will pay that kind of money. But clearly, he will sell merchandise because he is that popular. That is my moment. And everything he's done since debuting has been really cool. And in fact, just prior to the end of this year, we got the first match with Bray Wyatt as Bray Wyatt since this debuted, and he fought The Miz and won. So all of his Fiend stuff has been really cool. The mask, the lantern, the new entrance music. They don't love the red light. I hate that part of the whole thing, and most people agree with me on that one, but it's been really well done, and The Fiend and Bray Wyatt really hit it out of the park. Where they go in 2020, what he's going to do, that he debuted in 2019 and he's now the Universal Champion already, is a huge tell as to what they have planned for him in 2020. And it looks like he's headed towards a battle with Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 36, but we'll see where that goes. But right now, that's my winner of 2019, is the debut of the, or the re-debut of Bray Wyatt. The loser for me, by far, the Goldberg-Undertaker match at the Saudi Arabia show was awful. And it was just so bad. And there's no way around how bad it was. The legacy of these two guys has been forever tarnished because of this match. Now Undertaker has had a chance to come back, and so has Goldberg, to sort of right the wrong. I'm doing air quotes here because I know that you can't see me. Right the wrong of that match and what sour, bad taste it left in the mouths of minds of fans everywhere. But it didn't matter. It was so bad and so not important enough to do that at a Saudi Arabia show. It wasn't a dream match considering these two guys' ages. Nobody cared enough to make it matter. You knew the moment that they did the match, it was all about money and a draw for the Saudi Arabia show. Nobody expected anything out of that match, and it was actually worse than expected. It was just so bad. That was the moment in 2019 that just was a huge letdown for everybody. I feel bad for Goldberg getting knocked out, but at the same time, why even have this match in the first place? It didn't make any sense to me. Now both of these guys have got to forever have to think about what to do moving forward, what matches to take, what involvement to get in with WWE, what will it do? Can they make themselves look good? They need to do that moving forward, otherwise why do anything? And they both had a lot of explaining to do. Goldberg felt like he owed it to the fans to explain why it was so bad. Undertaker even said on the Stone Cold Broken Skull sessions, they didn't really address the match all that much, but you knew it was kind of in the background there. And Goldberg Austin didn't even talk about it at all. So it's clearly an issue for both of the guys that this is not the legacy they want to leave, the taste they want to have in everybody's mouths about that match. It just was so bad and such a poor decision by WWE to do it. And the money, I get it, but there is a time and a place that sometimes the money doesn't matter when you know that that's going to be the end product, and it was so much worse than anybody could have ever imagined. That was my down moment of 2019. All right, so let's talk a little news heading into the end of 2019 and the beginning of 2020. Obviously, there's one more Monday Night Raw before 2020 comes upon us, so there's one final show prior to the end of the year, but there's a few news items to go through. Particularly, they're building towards the Royal Rumble already. SmackDown saw Daniel Bryan and The Miz go head-to-head with the opportunity to wrestle, and King Corbin was in there too, but really, Corbin was probably not part of the plan, and that was obvious. The winner would get a chance to fight Bray Wyatt or The Fiend at the Royal Rumble. Daniel Bryan will move on, and he will probably main event that pay-per-view outside of the Rumble itself, which should have a ton of people in it from NXT superstars to SmackDown and Raw superstars. That was the big news of the week. Monday's show was actually taped. It was not a live show because of the Christmas holiday, so they had taped that show beforehand, and Jerry Lawler talked about the difficulty of doing that show and basically shooting two Raws back-to-back, so 6 hours, and they had to do it with really no commercial breaks, and he was talking about how the announcers really find that difficult because they use the commercials to sort of catch their second wind and really get themselves going again, and he did not have the opportunity to do that. But the big kind of reveal was that Rey Mysterio this week lost the title, the U.S. Championship, to Andrade at a live Madison Square Garden show, and he's going to be moving on to a main event kind of scenario situation storyline that will involve Samoa Joe, who's now off of the commentary table on Raw, back into the ring again because he's healed up and he's ready to go. So Rey Mysterio will kind of battle with Samoa Joe along his side. So it looks like Joe's going babyface. AOP and Seth Rollins will be taking on those guys. And yeah, that's kind of the deal there. So Rey Mysterio lost the title. They're going to probably put Andrade, who is now the new U.S. champion, in a program with Humberto Carrillo. And they'll do that. And then Rey Mysterio will move on to the main event. And I think the deal here, too, was that they wanted to kind of improve the attendance, the gates for the live events in Madison Square Garden. Is as good a building as any to do that. So they had a title change off TV at a live show where they wanted fans to buy tickets and show up and know that anything could happen at a live event. So that was a big story this week. Rey Mysterio is now no longer the U.S. champion. Andrade is. He'll be probably battling Humberto, and Rey will move on to the main event program, somewhere involving Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe himself, and AOP and Seth Rollins, who are now officially a trio. And all that sort of happened over the holidays here. Again, Lawler talked about the taping of Raw and how difficult it is, but he's also been told, and this was an interesting news item, he's no longer allowed to wrestle, period. He's not allowed to get physical, he's not allowed to do anything. And WWE has used the term, he's a liability. Basically what that means is that if he steps into the ring and something were to happen to him, now remember Lawler was the man who, you know, had some heart issues at ringside one day, collapsed, was taken to the hospital, that sort of stuff. So if he were to do that again, he could be in real trouble. Switching on over to AEW, there's some news this week that there's going to be a change, a slight change in the character development. Basically, they're going to be introducing a commissioner role personality. WWE has done this for many years, whether you want to call it a GM or you want to call it a commissioner or whomever. AEW, there's some speculation that they may introduce this type of character. Now, who it's going to be, we don't know for sure. If they even do it, we aren't 100% sure, but there sounds like they're making room for the possibility that Taz, former WWE announcer and often kind of helping out with AEW's Dark, which is on YouTube, might be up for the role. He's supposed to show up on AEW this week on Wednesday as a guest appearance, and potentially they're building towards something here so that this new commissioner role could be anybody. You know, it could be a guy like DDP, it could be a guy like Arn Anderson, it could be a number of people that are working with AEW, maybe a new surprise character, but Taz is right now the favorite, the early favorite to land that gig if they go ahead with this. There's some buzz that they may not do it, but this is kind of the talk so far. Why they want to do it, I don't know. It seems like another old idea that really doesn't go anywhere. AEW will be accused, again, of stealing more old, worn-out, crappy WWE ideas when they do this, if they do this. But if they do it right and they get the right person in there, it could be interesting. And I mentioned Arn Anderson, but he's going to be officially now part of the AEW family. There was a tweet this morning by Cody Rhodes and All Elite Wrestling that he has now signed on with the company. He is All Elite. And an announcement that he will be Cody Rhodes' new manager on TV. So Cody Rhodes delivered a press release on Monday morning. Arn Anderson is now officially AEW. He's going to be managing Cody for 2020. Interesting move. He was already with the company. He just wasn't technically signed to a full-time roster contract. So he'll probably be a producer behind the scenes. He's going to be the manager of Cody on TV. And he's going to be appearing as early as this Wednesday in Jacksonville, Florida on AEW Dynamite as well. Taz will be there. So there's two major possible former WWE guys showing up on the show where this goes, whether it's the commissioner and him as the new manager, or maybe they don't do this commissioner thing because Arn Anderson is now officially with the company, but Arn Anderson is now officially part of AEW. A little bit of news in the tag team division of WWE, a couple different topics. One, there's a return expected. It is the Usos. Jay's legal issues are done, over with. He was found not guilty of some of the stuff that he got into some trouble for, and that is all cleared up. So it looks like he's coming back. There's a report that the creative team for WWE has been tasked with finding something for them to do. They are probably coming back to Raw. It looks like they might be involved with that tag division there. So expect them to come in at some point in the next few weeks, it sounds like, and maybe they'll do something with the Viking Raiders, who have kind of been calling out teams. Wouldn't it be something if the Usos returned? What that means for Naomi, we don't know. There's no word at this point that she is anywhere near returning. The last we heard that she had left for some personal reasons, but whether or not she's coming back with them is unclear at that point, and when officially they return, we don't know. In other tag team news, it looks like a SmackDown tag team, a long-tenured tag team, Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, are headed for a split bill. So basically, they've been teasing this on SmackDown. The two women are at odds every once in a while still best friends in real life. It looks like WWE is finally going to split that team up, and Mandy Rose is rumored to be the person who's going to get the push out of this. Sucks for Sonya Deville. I think they could do something with her, but Mandy Rose has the look. She's probably the heel, and traditionally when you do this with teams, the heel tends to be the one that goes on and gets the prominent push from the company. That's probably where Mandy Rose is going to go here. They've been teasing some stuff with Dolph Ziggler over the last week. Maybe some stuff with Otis, and if she's turned on them and turns on Sonya, whatever. I guess apparently they were going to do this prior to WrestleMania and couldn't really figure out what to do with them after they'd done the split. And instead of actually doing it and rushing it and not having anything to follow through with, they just held off. Now they're ready to finally do this right. So it looks like they're going to be splitting those two up, and over the next few weeks you'll see that. Whether it happens at the Royal Rumble or it happens, which is a really good spot to do it, by the way, if you have them both in the Women's Royal Rumble, it's a really good opportunity to at least tease, if not officially do the turn for Mandy Rose, but watch for that. So Usos are coming back on Raw, it looks like, and probably splitting Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose on SmackDown. A congratulations should go out to Bayley, the SmackDown Women's Champion in WWE. She is now officially the longest reigning combined SmackDown Women's Champion of all time. That was an honor given to her on the 28th, so Saturday. She commented on it. The most consistent role model is what she tweeted out, basically playing up the heel role. Carmella didn't take long to get involved in that conversation, say she wanted a piece of her. Carmella obviously has had two back-to-back victories on SmackDown over Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose, so they see where that's going. Bayley may be one of the most underrated women in all of WWE. She's been a very heavy, not heavy, but stable heavy champion. She doesn't get a lot of credit. She's played a heel role fairly well. She's transitioned fairly well. And this is a person who, and you saw her as a Bayley buddy, the huggable character, should never have really made it work as a heel, but sometimes the best baby faces make the best heels, and she's done a very good job of it. She's carried the SmackDown title, and she's done a pretty good job, but and she's really playing up the role on social media and on interviews with WWE and on podcasts. She's really enjoying it, I think. So she should get a little bit more credit. Whether or not she stays a SmackDown champion for long, I don't know. On the Raw side, it looks like Asuka is going to be going with Becky Lynch, and then at some point that will move on to someone like Shayna Baszler or maybe the return of Ronda Rousey. On SmackDown, it's a little less clear. Sasha Banks is in that picture. Bayley's in that picture. Carmella should be in that picture. Don't really know where this is going, but for now, until they figure it out, Bayley seems like the most worthy champion. And so she's going to get to keep that role. So she'll lengthen this record-holding title reign, and it makes sense to do that. So congratulations once again to Bayley, now the longest-reigning combined SmackDown Women's Champion ever. Here's a story that I can really get behind if it's true. Brock Lesnar was supposed to face either Tyson Fury or Cain Velasquez at the Royal Rumble. That was the early talk when they first brought in Tyson Fury and when Cain Velasquez was brought in, that would be a build eventually towards the Royal Rumble. That's not happening anymore. We don't even know if Cain Velasquez or Tyson Fury will be at the pay-per-view. We assume Velasquez will be, but he's too raw. He's too inexperienced. He's not quite there yet to make it a main event match for the Royal Rumble. So instead, it looks like either AJ Styles or Drew McIntyre are going to get that spot. And man, if it was Drew McIntyre, that would be really cool if they book that. Now, it doesn't give much time for WWE to build up McIntyre into that match, and that's a bummer because at that point, if it happens, he's probably not going to win, which is unfortunate because it just delays McIntyre's push a little bit. And there's a guy who I think really should get a heavy look at being a contender on Raw and for the future in 2020, but it would be a huge surprise if he got into the Royal Rumble somehow, won the thing, and then had the chance to pick his opponent, maybe chose Brock Lesnar for WrestleMania. Wouldn't that be a surprise? And there's really something to the idea that this year, the WWE can really surprise a few people with the winner of the Royal Rumble, somebody who you don't expect, somebody who should have been looked at a long time ago heavily, maybe should get a look this year. And man, if it was Drew McIntyre, that would be so cool. Here's my question, though. How would you do it? If it's AJ Styles, he's a heel with the OC. Does it really make sense to have AJ Styles facing Brock Lesnar? McIntyre is clearly also a heel, but could he be a babyface if challenged with Brock Lesnar, who fans are clearly not behind and Don't probably love the fact that he's a Universal title holder again. Hasn't been on TV for the remainder of 2019. I could see it. If they wanted to turn somebody into babyface character and he doesn't have a role right now because he's not part of the Rollins AOP thing and he's kind of in limbo, McIntyre as a babyface against Brock Lesnar could work. You just have to set it up. So I would hope it's McIntyre if they have a long-term plan for him. If not, I think you're just throwing him to the wolves by having him wrestle in January at the Royal Rumble and lose to Brock Lesnar. But I don't see how the OC and AJ Styles flip the script on what they're doing here enough to face Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. So, man, it's a rumor at this point. McIntyre would be my pick. You'd have to really set it up properly, and you'd have to have a long-term plan for after that match. But that's how I would go. But here's what we know. It doesn't look like Cain Velasquez or Tyson Fury will be involved with Lesnar in any way at the Royal Rumble at this point. The main deal on tonight's WWE Raw will be the Bobby Lashley Lana nuptials slash wedding slash probably chaos ensuing on the show. I'm pretty certain this is not going to go down. Whether or not this is the start of a split bill for between Lana and Lashley, or Rusev gets involved somehow, or whatever, but I don't expect to see a wedding. But they are heavily promoting this segment on Raw. It is one of the most popular but hated segments on the entire program. They're basically going to milk this for as much YouTube hits as they possibly can, try to get as many social media likes, retweets, shares as possible. So something's going to happen here, and chaos will ensue. That's the thing to watch on Monday Night Raw this week. That's tonight if you're listening to this podcast today, just prior to the show airing. But yeah, WWE's been all over this storyline. They're probably going to push this hard, whether it opens the show or not, I don't know. But it is going to be the storyline of the night, and there's probably going to be some news coming out of it. So, yeah, watch for an article on thesportster.com about that segment, because I'm sure there'll be something going on, and it's never going to be as straightforward as they're making it seem. These two are probably not getting married in some way, shape, or form. Obviously not in real life, because Lashley's married, and Lana's still with Rusev. But as far as the angle goes, this isn't going to be the thing that it's not as straightforward black and white as they're making it seem. Something's going to happen here. All right, here's a very interesting story that was on Sportskeeda Wrestling just the other day. Former WWE star Darren Young, his name is Fred Rosser, he has left WWE, as most people know. He was part of the Primetime Players with Titus O'Neil, hasn't been in WWE for a really long time, didn't necessarily leave on the best of terms, but he did an interview with Sportskeeda Wrestling talking about his, you know, life since leaving WWE, and as part of the interview, he said that he would badly like to come back to the WWE. In fact, he's planning on calling Triple H. He has his number. He's going to offer his services. He says there's a lot that he can offer WWE, but he's willing to do pretty much anything. He's willing to work anywhere. He's willing to work with Evolve, which he called the C-League of WWE. He's willing to job out to anybody and everybody. He would obviously like to put himself over and become, you know, a star like Jinder Mahal did when he came back, or Drew McIntyre who left and came back. But basically the deal here is that Darren Young wants to come back to WWE so badly he's willing to do almost anything. And that speaks a lot to what it's like to be a WWE star. We talk about it all the time, how these fans are constantly saying, oh, Rusev didn't get this, so he's going to leave. The Revival's not happy, so they're going to leave. And these guys are on Main Event instead of Raw or SmackDown, and they're not getting a push. Dana Brooke has signed a new contract, but she's going to lose all the time. Whatever the case is, whoever it is we're talking about, this is a constant theme in WWE. They're talking about this stuff all the time. Well, this goes to show you that a guy like Darren Young is proving that life ain't so bad sometimes when you're in this situation. He's never probably going to be a massive star. He's not going to be a guy that WWE would hire and push to the moon. He's not the future of the company. He's none of those things. But he's willing to come back and work in the biggest promotion in the world and lose all the time for whatever reason it is. He either wants to be back in the show, he wants to have the steady paycheck, he wants to be part of the biggest, whatever it is that he wants to do, he's willing to lose all the time to do it. So it tells you that these guys aren't always got it so bad just because they're not in the spotlight, that they're not the Bray Wyatts or the Seth Rollins or the Roman Reigns of the world who get the push and are constantly now. Young is not a Daniel Bryan type where it doesn't really matter whether or not he wins or loses, but he's just looking for a steady gig. He wants a job where he can be part of the show and he can contribute in a way and teach and work in any promotion, whether it's NXT or Evolve or WWE Raw or SmackDown or whatever. He just wants to be a part of the deal again, so he's willing to call and, I don't want to say beg, he didn't say beg, but that he just wants a gig. He wants to work. And it goes to show you that some of these guys that are so rumored to be leaving may not be as willing to leave as people might expect, just because, you know, obviously Young is not having a ton of luck outside of WWE. He's not been picked up by AEW or anything like that. And he just wants to be part of the deal again. So it's an interesting read. Definitely worth checking out. But it goes to show you that life isn't always so bad when you're one of these guys who's just got a steady gig in WWE. And some of these guys who might be rumored to be on the releases may not really want to go. And Young kind of speaks to that a little bit. So interesting story. Definitely worth checking out. Go to sportskeeda.com wrestling and take a listen to it. In some news that we're hoping is a report that doesn't necessarily reflect how severe the injury might be. Randy Orton apparently got hurt at a live event on the WWE Holiday Tour. He was facing AJ Styles, kind of had a bad landing, hurt his knee, unable to continue the match, was helped to the back. We don't necessarily know how serious the injury is, but it doesn't look so good. Hopefully it's not a long-term thing. I don't know if he was going to get a huge push on Raw, but he was part of some of the bigger storylines. He's one of the faces of Raw. They're really working on a babyface turn for him. Now, he could have been pushed as one of those guys that was in, you know, the top five, top six of the brand. And if he's hurt for any lengthy period of time, that's not good, because it's right into the Royal Rumble season, leading on the road to WrestleMania. Orton obviously plays a huge deal there. He just signed a new contract with WWE. So hopefully this knee injury is not a serious one. That was just sort of a twist that's going to need a little time, and that he was just being cautious in the match, but doesn't look good. So Randy Orton injured on a live event, not a good sign for WWE. Hopefully not a start of things to come for the year 2020. Well, folks, that was a quick look at the news and rumors for the week of the holiday Christmas break and leading into New Year's Eve. We won't have another show here on the Smart Marks of Wrestling podcast until after the new year, which is coming up in just a matter of a couple days. So thank you for listening. Once again, kind of the theme of today's show was the talk in WWE around who the wrestlers of the year were, around who the wrestlers of the decade were, the spots, the pay-per-views, the moments, things that you would have watched in the last 10 years or the last year and said, yeah, that was the moment. Obviously in WWE, the moment of 2019, according to them, it was the debut of Cain Velasquez on Fox's Friday Night SmackDown debut. I'm not sure that I agree with that necessarily, but it certainly was a moment. They haven't really capitalized on it. Cain Velasquez did one show after that and lost in a matter of minutes. So quickly, in fact, that it's like the full clip can be seen on a Twitter post, which is like 2 minutes long. So not necessarily the auspicious debut for Cain Velasquez that we would hope, but there are plans for him moving into the Royal Rumble and going forward. They just want to do it right and not waste him. So I guess that's the deal. My winning moment of 2019 was the debut and push of Bray Wyatt and his re-debut as The Fiend / Firefly Funhouse. My loser moment of the year was obviously Goldberg versus Undertaker at the Saudi Arabia show. It was terrible. I'm sure a lot of people would agree, but I'd love to know your take on it. What did you think were the moments of 2019, the good and the bad? Feel free to share it. Go on the sportster.com. Let us know on the Facebook page. Put your comments below. If you're listening to this, we could definitely use the comments and the feedback and the shares and the likes. And don't forget to listen to us on Anchor.fm, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, anywhere that you like to listen to your podcast platforms. We are on there. We'd love it if you rate it, download it, subscribe to it, share it. Put a 5-star review on iTunes for us, because that always helps us in terms of growing and broadcasting the podcast to a new audience. So we appreciate you doing that. Again, thank you very much for joining us. We hope that you have a fantastic and wonderful new year, that 2020, if 2019 wasn't better or great for you, we hope 2020 is a whole lot better. If 2019 was fantastic, we hope that continues on for you in 2020. We've got some big stuff here on the horizon in the Sportster, at Wrestling Write-Ups, on YouTube. We got Facebook Live that we've started here in the last month, and it's going pretty well, so we're going to continue to do that. So join us every Monday night after Raw for Facebook Live talking Raw. Wednesdays and Fridays, we'll have the Sports Newscast report, and we'll continue to write articles like crazy. Wrestling is more popular than it's ever been. The growth of AEW and WWE has been huge. While AEW hasn't necessarily seen some of the success that it would have liked, it has done very well. The attendance isn't wonderful. The ratings are dropping a little bit, but they'll figure it out. They're a company that's got a lot of good people in there that they just need to get some of those kinks worked out. WWE will obviously do what they can to combat that. And that you already see a little bit. The shows are a little bit better. Storylines are a little bit more prominent. WWE's making moves to, you know, combat and not lose any ground to AEW. It will get better. Competition is just a better thing. NXT is better because of AEW. AEW and NXT are having the Wednesday Night Wars that started in 2019, and I'm sure will continue to 2020. So 2020 is going to be a big year, and we're coming right around the corner, the best time of the year. The Royal Rumble in January, WrestleMania 36 in April. Lots going on, lots of news. Expect some debuts. And here's what I'm looking forward to, and it's just a rumor at this point, but maybe it'll happen. Edge returning to the ring. He's denying he's going to do it, but I expect to see it in some way, shape, or form, whether it's at the Royal Rumble or a Crown Jewel show or something. He's medically cleared to go, and it will probably be a matter of time before he's ready to return. So I'd say watch for that in 2020. As well, John Morrison. That's going to be a debut that we should really look forward to seeing. He's working hard. He's already been on the bump, and he's done some videos showing his in-ring work and his practicing and stuff like that. It's just a matter of where they put him, what they do with him, and I think he's going to be a big player in WWE this year. So watch for him. Lots coming up in 2020. Again, thank you for joining us. This has been another edition of the Smart Marks Wrestling Podcast presented by thesportster.com, and we will talk to you next week.